Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to the family with
L.A. Nick,
co-host
Catherine Brandt,
and Andy Brandt Bernard.
Really, you're gonna bark out the first part and go on from there?
I'm trying so hard to have energy.
It's tough, man.
Without the sun for, what has it been, 10, 15 days?
10 months.
10, 15 years.
Eight more days left.
I can't.
We will be right back. Alex will join us. Craig, I don't know if it's Grossi or Grossi, because I've heard it pronounced both ways.
Grossi.
Craig Grossi or Grossi.
I don't know.
He's got a book, ladies and gentlemen, The Second Chances of Marine, His Dog, and Finding Redemption. He will join us right after this with the family. Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who have been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases,
right,
and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us.
And that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. Whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what your all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant. Dougie, what's new at my favorite Nissan stores?
Well, now that everybody's back from vacation, we can finally get to work.
Yeah, easy there, gunpowder.
Hey, at least you only took a week. J-Lo was gone darn near a whole month. Poor Dan Rush. Anyway, we got some great things happening at Coon Rapids Nissan and Walser Nissan in Burnsville. Read this, and you can add that cool DJ voice if you want to.
It's 2020 closeout month at Burnsville and Coon Rapids Nissan. Giant discounts in 0% for 60 months on all remaining 2020s. You also get Walser Care, a 10-year, 150,000-mile powertrain warranty for free.
Ah, music to my ears. I love the sound of a good DJ in the morning. But wait, there's more.
For the first time ever, you can get 0% for 60 months on the all-new 2021 Rogue. The 2021 Rogue is bigger, better, and faster than ever before. For more information on 0% interest on all these great vehicles, check out Coon Rapids Nissan and Walser Nissan at Burnsville and tell them Tommy sent you.
I'll just cut out the last bit.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, president at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Mike Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company.
As a community bank based right here in the Twin Cities, we believe in taking the time to get to know our customers and their businesses.
And part of that is hiring and cultivating a team of experienced lenders. When your business banks with us, you're not training in a new, inexperienced banker.
In fact, our bankers have worked with many of the same customers for years, earning their trust. We get to know you and your business, and you get to know and rely upon us.
When your business is looking to capitalize on an opportunity or solve a problem, we'll be here to help you.
Tom here. I know Brad and Mike, and I trust that with my banking, they've personally delivered on everything they've just said. So why not bank with my banker, North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Just like to mention quickly, we're just talking a little bit about it off the air, but every single person who has called me from outside the Minneapolis area, what the hell kind of puke hole do you live in? I said, what are you talking about? All they do is riot up there. I said, it's not rioting, it's violent protesting. It's a big difference. What a crock that is, huh?
You know, I saw a story yesterday. It reminded me, we think we have it so bad. There's a guy from Vegas who was just went to Dubai, mm-hmm. and he had a medical emergency, and he had to go to a hospital in Dubai. Well, they automatically test your blood, and they turned him in the government, which they have to by law, federal law, that he had THC in his system.
Oh,
and 3 years in prison, man.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
3 years instantaneously in prison. And he smoked pot in Nevada where it's legal. And it was all legal. And this was 4 days before he went to Dubai.
There you go.
And then he went to Dubai, had appendicitis, went to a hospital. They turned him into the government. And now he's going to prison for 3 years.
Perfect. A dream come true.
Ever see a prison in countries like that?
No, thank you.
They are nothing. I've been to a jail in a foreign country. It is brutal, man. I'm talking brutal. Yeah.
You should have gone to prison.
If anybody's
like
going
nothing
to.
Nothing you've ever seen. You can imagine in this country, people be up in arms. They'd be crazy.
We got Craig on the phone.
Craig is on the horn. Craig Rossi, how you doing, Craig?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Marvelously well. Thank you very much. You know, I have a question for you. I'll read this first. The author of the heartwarming Craig and Fred tells a deeply emotional and inspiring story of the next phase of their lives together, working closely with prison inmates in Maine who raise and train puppies to become service dogs.
Puppies.
It is wonderful. That's a great, great thing. I have a few friends that have service dogs. One of them from serving overseas. Very, very, lot of PTSD, let me put it that way. That's the best way to put it. And he loves that dog. That dog is his whole life, Craig, no doubt.
Yeah.
It absolutely
is. It's an incredible bond just between a regular non-service dog and their person. And then when you factor in the training and the work that goes into developing a service dog for somebody, it really takes that bond to a pretty incredible place.
The book is called Second Chances, A Marine, His Dog, and Finding Redemption. I just want to hand it off to you, Craig, because I want to hear the story from the very beginning. The one question I do have for you, are you from Maine originally?
No, I'm originally from the Washington, D.C. area. I grew up in the suburbs of D.C. in Virginia.
I didn't hear the Maine accent.
No.
Not that.
Yeah, no.
No, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I often wondered, though, why would anybody from Maine join any other service except for the Marines? The Maine Marines. It sounds perfect.
Yeah. Right. There's a lot of Marines come from the New England area, and I met a lot of Marines from Maine for sure.
No doubt about it. Former U.S. Marine Craig Grossi and his dog Fred appeared on the Today Show, Rachel Ray, in schools, bookstores, military bases across America as they told the uplifting story of how Craig found Fred astray while serving in Afghanistan, brought him home. One more quick comment, and I'd just like to turn it over to you, Craig. I want to hear the story from the beginning. We have a friend, Brittany, who served in the United States Army, and she had a dog. She was over in the Middle East. And she had a dog that followed her everywhere she went. Even if she didn't want the dog to follow her, the dog would follow her around. And sadly, at the very end of her service over there, they would not let her bring that dog back here.
That's an unfortunate story. Yeah, I'm too familiar with stories like that. And it's not easy. To do what I did with Fred, but it's been made in recent years. It's been made a little bit easier by some awesome nonprofits. One of the ones that we kind of advocate and work closely with is called Puppy Rescue Mission, and they have a network of volunteers and staff all over the world that can effectively kind of take ownership of the dog and have it kind of work through their network of foster homes all over the world, and a lot of times they're able to kind of get around the legal and chain of command kind of complications that our service members face, because the rules are there for a reason. They're not necessarily bad rules, but when you have a bond and you have a dog that's not creating issues and is actually enhancing the capabilities and the morale of our troops overseas, then that's something that should be supported and embraced.
No, Craig, I got to ask you, what kind of dog is Fred?
Fred,
Fred's a lot of stuff. Oh, there he goes.
There he goes. There's Fred.
You heard me say his name. Come here, buddy.
Fred.
He's a loud. He's a loud kind. That's for sure.
He's the loud.
He's got a lot going on. His gene pool, I always say, is very deep. He's got definitely a lot of hound and a lot of shepherd in him. But he's 100% Fred. That's for sure.
I love the website, fredtheafghan.com. It's a great website right there.
That's our website. That's our social media, and he's got really enthusiastic followers all over the world that love our story. And the reception of our first book was, really just motivated me to continue to write and to continue to explore some of the lessons that I learned from Fred and from my time in Afghanistan, and just kind of continue to reflect through writing and through engaging with diverse people, and it led me to a prison, one of our prisons that we have here in our country, and it was not the place I thought I'd end up volunteering to spend my time, but it was really a beautiful experience and a really life changing one for me.
Well, you're in the Shawshank prison. That's got to be kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, the original facility, it stood for a long time, I think 1824 to mm-hmm. 2000. But it's now, it looks like every other prison, like a modern facility, just down the road from where the original one stood. But yeah, it's still got that vibe to it, that Shawshank, that's such a famous story. It's a fictional story, of course.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, okay, so did you're in Afghanistan. Did Fred just start following you around? Is that how it happened?
Yeah, well, basically, we were in an area of Afghanistan that was, pretty hostile, to say the least. And there was no real U.S. troops or any kind of coalition troops around the area that we inserted in the middle of the night out of helicopters and into a fence, essentially right into the Taliban's kitchen. And there we had to set up our own base. Like, there was no base. There was no one waiting for us. We brought sandbags and just filled sandbags and kind of fortified an abandoned compound before the sun came up. And when the sun came up, we were surrounded by 150, almost 200 Taliban trying to run us out of there. And we fought for over a week to just hold that ground. And in between fights, we would see him. We'd see Fred and see this, at the time he was just this little stray dog that we kind of would laugh at because he was so kind of different from everything around him, and just looking at him would kind of make us feel better, but after about a week, the Taliban gave us a little breathing room, and we were able to kind of take a breath and look around and start to plan the next phase of our time there. And that's when I really got a good look at him, and against my better judgment, I think that the dog lover in me, kind of led me to kind of grab a piece of beef jerky and approach him. But I almost turned around, those first couple steps towards him, I got a good look, and he was covered in bugs and his fur was matted, and I could tell he never really had, never really had a kind hand before. But he wagged his tail. He wagged his tail at me, and that brought me a little closer. And that was our first kind of interaction, and we've been pretty much inseparable ever since.
Yeah, that's so amazing, because that literally is Brittany's story. She said that dog was covered in bugs and mud and she said it was just a mess.
Yeah.
So a lot of stray dogs running around Afghanistan. Craig, I just love the fact that, first of all, you served your country as a United States Marine, but it was not enough for you. You brought a dog back with you, and you had to fight to bring the dog back with you, and now you're helping people train puppies to become service dogs. Service dogs are so incredibly important. It is amazing what those dogs can do. Hey, look, if I get stressed out, our dog Jude comes and sits on my lap because he knows I'm stressed out, and he just sleeps on my lap until I calm down.
So is that all day, every day?
Yeah, it's pretty much all day, every day. Exactly. I'm always pissed off at somebody, Craig. That's true, exactly.
Well, what's really incredible is actually in my next book, called Second Chances, I'm not doing any of the training. I ended up
just being kind of a fly on the wall.
Oh, okay.
While I witnessed these men who are incarcerated for lots of different things. Some of them are some of the worst that you can imagine. I watched them take what is essentially a floppy little puppy that they get handed within the first couple months of its life, and they transform it over the course of 15 to 18 months into what is essentially an appendage for a veteran. I mean, these dogs go, they do things that are, like, besides just being there for as a companion, which is an incredible thing in itself, they're able to bring somebody a pill bottle when they're having a seizure, or when they're having, you know, some kind of medical emergency without, you know, squeezing it too tight to break it, you know, and they're actually will bring it specifically to the person's dominant hand or whatever, you know, their needs are. They'll wake you up from a nightmare. They'll literally open a door for you or open the refrigerator for you. Like, just incredible things that they're getting trained to do by men who are serving time in our nation's prisons, which is just an incredible and unlikely place to witness a thing like that.
It's amazing to me, Craig. I did not know until I read your descriptor that the prisons are, many of the people in the prisoners in these prisons are veterans.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. I mean, we have in our country a prison problem in general. We have the highest prison population in the developed world,
mm-hmm.
which is just it's been a crutch, in my opinion, for a long time. And it's clearly not working. And so, yeah, of course, within that population, we're going to have a lot of veterans who have fallen through the cracks, who haven't come home to a stable environment, haven't come home to a stable community, and, you know, have developed addictions because of trauma that they experienced during their service, or a lot of times because of medication that they were issued by the military.
Right.
That they were unable to continue to get, or, you know, or that was addictive. So it's all stuff that, you know, I wasn't really planning on learning about, but I'm really proud to have done that and to have kind of done my part to communicate that in this next book.
I wonder why it is that dogs, there are other animals that approach it, I guess. I guess cats might be the second. But dogs are very, very special in that their connection to human beings are rock solid. Where most animals, it's kind of there, but it can come and go. But dogs, man, once you're locked into a dog, they're locked into you forever.
Yeah, it's true. I think it goes back a long, long way. You know,
yeah.
there's some fun documentaries that kind of go into the kind of the science and kind of the history of the domesticated dog, and I think it was, you know, it essentially kind of started with foxes. I think that they started to kind of control the breeding of, like, and breed together, you know, two foxes that were a little more docile and a little more kind of interested in people, and then it just kind of went from there, and I think the same thing kind of happened with wolves, too. And yeah, so, yeah, they're just kind of naturally bred. I think horses are probably another example that come really close. For people, I've never spent a lot of time with horses, but I have people that in my life that do, and that bond and that connection is pretty real.
I don't know. I have 10 horses. I don't think the connection is quite the same as a dog. I had a service dog that I got from a person who passed away, and I had him for, God, 17 years.
Ooh.
And, that bond's unmatchable. No horse can match it. I mean, I have horses that love me and follow me around everywhere I go, but it's just not the same because the dog's with you 24/7 in your house where you live, where a horse is not.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's not the same. Horse doesn't sleep with you.
Well, we had an animal behaviorist on the podcast one time, and he said that the dog is the only domesticated animal that will try to figure out what you want.
Yeah.
And what you need.
Right.
Or other animals are like, who cares, as long as I get fed. And I mean, I might like you, and thanks for the pets, but I'm not going to try to figure out what you need.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And that's what I really was able to witness throughout my time with everybody up at Maine State Prison was just how far you can really take that bond through training and conditioning. And what's really beautiful about the methods that they use at America's Vet Dogs is the nonprofit that that I was kind of just a fly on the wall to see their process. But it's all positive reinforcement. You know, like even when the dog doesn't do something, you know, correctly, you never say no, you never scold them, you never discipline them harshly. It's just kind of a redirection. And then when they do it right, that's when you pour on the praise. And I thought there was something so poetic about seeing the power of positive reinforcement, mm-hmm. you know, being used by men who, you know, in a lot of cases didn't really have a lot of positive reinforcement throughout their lives.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense. I love the whole idea behind, if you don't mind, one quick 60-second story about a horse not being all that close to humans. My wife is on the road, and she calls me and said, "Would you do me a favor and put the stallion in his stall?" Now, Craig,
the sweetest stallion you've ever met in your entire life.
Yeah, but it's Tom.
Exactly.
I grew up in the inner city. There were no horses around where I grew up or any stuff, so I don't know what I'm doing. So I go put the lead on the horse, and I grab it on the end like a dog leash, which is a really bad idea. So I'm walking him in.
I wouldn't have done that.
Oh, you've done that too?
I've never handled a horse before. I would have had no idea. I would have done it like a dog too, for sure, yeah.
Okay, Craig, so don't do it, and I'm telling you why. Because I'm leading the horse in like a dog leash. He bites me on the tricep on my left arm. I cannot tell you how much that hurt, and I got a pretty high threshold for pain. And I'm not proud of this part. It's just it was a reaction. It was instinct. I turned around and punched him right in the cheek, and he looked at me like, "Yeah, whatever." He didn't even feel it. It was like, "Yeah, okay, tough guy."
I'm still trying to figure out why he would ever bit anybody.
Oh,
never bit.
It hurt like mad.
Never.
It's weird. I've had a horse like that before too. It's never been anyone until he did, and just certain people they just don't like.
I guess that's true.
Me? How would you not like me, Craig? I'm the most even keel guy on earth.
I don't think any of my horses would bite anyone ever. My pony may if you mess with her too much.
Well, ponies are ponies.
Yeah,
ponies.
You gotta watch out for ponies.
Are ponies.
I love my pony though.
Yeah,
they have a little wild horse in them.
What about mini horses? I've seen there was a trend for a long time with people that wanted to keep mini horses.
Mini horses are actually pretty low key. They're not.
Yeah, the problem with mini horses is you have to have a dry lot. You can't let them eat grass all day.
Yeah,
they get big health problems.
They're easier to keep.
You know, where they came from, you know, it's desert areas, and they ate little weeds sticking out of a crack, you know. So if you put them in a big green pasture all day.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, even ponies, you can't just let them eat grass all day long.
You'll hurt them.
Yeah.
So, Craig, do you feel yourself that you were kind of somehow called to do this? Do you feel like this is such a good fit that you were kind of destined to do this with Fred?
Yeah, you know, I certainly do feel that way. I always just kind of joke and but half seriously say that, you know, that I just essentially follow Fred around and he leads me to some pretty incredible places and people, you know, and Maine State Prison is no exception. Because beyond the men that I came to grow close to that are serving time there, it was another amazing man that I met was the warden at the time. He's now moved on to a higher office, but at the time, his name is Randy Liberty, which is one of the greatest names I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, absolutely,
especially for a prison warden. And I write a lot about him in the book too. And his story is an absolutely incredible one. He is an Iraq War veteran, a sheriff's deputy, former sheriff of his county, and then moved on to become the warden of the state penitentiary. And just the programs beyond the dog program that he introduced to the prison were just life-changing. And you talk about, you know, people connecting to things beyond themselves. Dogs are a great example of what's possible there. But he brought in a gardening program that was just like life-changing and to the prison for so many men there too, to just connect them to the earth and to the soil and to some, you know, to taking care of something. And I write a lot about that in the book too, which is pretty great.
No, it is great. It's a wonderful story. You know, you dedicated your life to it, Craig. You stepped up and you did what you thought was right, and that's very, very admirable, because a lot of people went, I don't know if I want to do that. But you stepped up and accepted the position. That's really honorable.
No, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's given me more than I've put into it back. You know, certainly the relationship with Fred, you know, I only really had to rescue him that one time. But he's, you know, through his own way, given me purpose and given me, you know, just a real connection to myself through writing and through speaking and through engaging with people through our social media and, through, you know, just through any opportunities that I can, like coming on your show. You know, it's just, it's really been a gift that he's given me right back. So it's certainly been worth it.
No, no question about it. None at all. We got to take a break in about a minute. Craig, can you stay for another segment? Do you have more time?
Of course, yeah.
I'd like to ask you a question. I don't want you to, you know, as far as politically and all that stuff, that's not the part I'm talking about. I have a concern that we're not going to leave Afghanistan when we say we were going to leave Afghanistan. Does that concern you? And again, you know, I'm not trying to involve you in politics here. It's kind of concerning.
No. Yeah, no, that's okay. I mean, and to me, it shouldn't necessarily be a political issue. It should be, you know, you know, a national kind of conversation. Like so many of the things that are politicized, you know, they should just be kind of conversations. It shouldn't be about which side is right or wrong. And I think, you know, it's, you know, we have to think long term. We have to think about the, you know, not just the effort and the resources that we've committed to Afghanistan for so long, but, you know, just what is the real, you know, future of that country, and what is our responsibility to the people of Afghanistan?
Didn't they announce yesterday they're pulling out in the next 30 days?
Yeah, but they were supposed to pull out on May 1st.
Right.
Yeah, now they're saying September, though, right?
September 11th.
By December? Yeah. You know, and it's we've got a lot of lessons to learn from our time there, and I think one of the ways that we're going to be able to do that is by stepping away and by bringing everybody back. And if we need to, you know, kind of keep a cadre on the ground, you know, in the long run, then, you know, that's something that I think we can have a conversation about as a country.
Right.
I think that we really, from a leadership standpoint, really kind of got caught in a cycle that was pretty toxic, and we weren't really making the right decisions for the long term. It was, you know, we just were thinking 2, 3, 4 months or years, you know, ahead of time, and not really thinking, you know, from the right place.
Absolutely. We'll take our break here. I just, like I said, they wanted us out by May 1st. The Taliban says you're not out by May 1st. There's going to be a lot of trouble. And I also, 9/11 is a little bit of grandstanding, if you ask me.
That's what I thought, too, when they announced that date.
Yeah, that does bother me. Craig, we'll be right back with Craig Grossi, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called Second Chances, A Marine, His Dog, and Finding Redemption. More with Craig right after this. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. Well, he didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and outdoor all day long. Made with MyPillow foam, an impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable, you'll want to get some for the whole family, which is what we did. Call 1-800-516-5146 or use promo code Tom, of course. 1-800-516-5146. Use promo code Tom or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Tom. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, and MyPillow towel sets. Call 1-800-516-5146. Use promo code Tom. Dan Chesky is here from Dan's Southside Marine to talk boats in February.
2021 is all about boat inventory or the lack thereof. Dan's has what you're looking for in the color and model you want. So get in and take advantage of the factory incentives and discounts February offers.
Why should our listeners shop for a fishing boat at Dan's Southside Marine?
We have the latest models on display, like the new Revolution. It features rotational seating from Premier Marine and the new Alumacraft FSX crossover fishing ski. Both are getting tons of attention and grabbing sales from the competition.
Dan's Southside Marine is packed with pontoons from Avalon, Berkshire, and Premier. With all the rebates and incentives we mentioned at the top, get the family out this weekend and come see these amazing pontoons.
And be sure to ask about custom-rigged Alumacraft fishing boats this weekend at Dan's Southside Marine during our February open house.
Dan's Southside Marine, 6 blocks west of 35W on 98th Street in Bloomington. Shop online at danssouthsidemarine.com.
What's more important than reliable plumbing? Having someone you can rely on in case it ever needs attention. Hi, Tom here for Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Look, you don't want to mess around with leaks or shoddy installation or repair when it comes to plumbing. Sabre is the largest installer of Moen fixtures and Rheem water heaters in Minnesota. They're dependable pros who get the job done right. So when plumbing happens, call Sabre or visit SabreHeating.com.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Our very special guest, Craig Grossi, G-R-O-S-S-I, is the author's spelling. Second Chance is a Marine, His Dog, and Finding Redemption. It's available on Amazon. It's available everywhere, as a matter of fact. If it's they got books, the book will be there. It's a story about Craig going to Afghanistan, serving the United States of America, meeting Fred, but when he... when did he start responding to Fred? Was it almost right away, or did it take a while before he understood that he was Fred?
Yeah, no, I don't. That's a good question. It didn't take very long. I'd say within a couple of days, he figured out. That was the word we used for him, and yeah, I think because he was so hungry, he immediately associated maybe that his name with food or water. Always looking to give him a little something, when things were calm and we could get his attention.
Were you raised with dogs?
No, that's another kind of interesting kind of twist about me and Fred is he's actually my very first dog.
That's pretty awesome.
Wanted one.
It is.
Yeah, I always wanted one growing up, but we were a cat family, and I made the most out of our cats. I love cats, but I begged my parents for one, and I kept getting that standard, line from my dad, if we get a dog, I'm going to end up walking it, I'm going to end up taking care of it. So, I tried to even get around that. I bought a leash with my own money and I would walk all the neighbor's dogs after school to show them that I could handle the responsibility. But, it kind of backfired because they just thought, oh, he's walking the neighbor's dogs. We don't need to get him one.
God, I think it's hilarious, Craig. As soon as we started talking about Fred and him responding, our dog Jude came over to me and asked for a pet.
No, he's like, why are you talking about another dog?
You're talking about another dog.
Like
he somehow knows
yeah,
we're
how
talking.
Dare you?
Now he's scratching me for almonds.
I think it's Alex, you had a question.
No, we've moved on from it being relevant.
No, we did not. What do you want to ask?
No, I was just going to say, when I have adopted 3 dogs in my life. And one of them, I kept her name because she was 6 when I adopted her. And then the other 2, we changed their names because they didn't really have names. And then the foster gave them names and whatever. And I was just going to say, when we adopted them, they said, use their name as much as possible. Just constantly say the name that you choose over and over and over again. Yeah, it took Birch and May like a day to figure out that it was them. Yeah, like a day, 2 days.
Yeah.
They figured out quick.
Well, I think
that's
mom's
cool. Yeah, that was one of the things that I didn't really. There's so many things that go into training dogs, and especially these service dogs that I write about in Second Chances. That's one of the very first things that the men work on with the puppies is name recognition and the habit of that, like them responding to their name, and you said, give them a treat when they kind of look at you when you say their name, and that's so much builds off of. Off of that, it's pretty incredible.
We had a dog groomer, internationally famous dog groomer, on from Pooch Perfect.
Yeah, the Pooch show. Perfect.
Pooch Perfect. Jorge.
Jorge was great.
And they select the dogs for the show based on their temperament and the fact that they like to be shown off, and they like to show off, and they love to be groomed. How do you just take any dog, and or do they have to have like the right temperament?
Oh, for America's Vet Dogs, for their, yeah, for their, yep, program in the prison? Yeah, mm-hmm. They use it pretty much exclusively lab.
Oh.
And they breed them, and they work with certain breeders that have a high standard, I think just for the level of training and the consistency, I think, throughout their program, because they have a very big program.
Oh, okay.
They like to kind of know, you know, that what they're starting with each time, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, labs are pretty consistent dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why.
Yeah, you seem to see a lot of golden retrievers and labs as service dogs.
I think
dogs.
Labs are number one in the world.
Probably true.
Because their temperament's so good.
I just realized what it was, Craig. By the way, I just realized every time somebody in this room says the word dog, Jude starts moving around.
Yeah, he's like, it's my world, and we just get to live in it, right,
exactly.
Jude?
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, yeah. They pick up on everything. I mean, yeah, it's especially over the last year, just being home so much, and you know, I'm sure that lots of dog owners around the world are realizing how closely their words are being listened to by their dogs.
No doubt about it. I just, does it make you extremely happy? I mean, just when you wake up in the morning and Fred's there, does that make you really happy?
Yeah, you know, it makes every day just a gift, you know. It's everywhere Fred goes, and kind of everything he does to me, and I'm so glad to say that to lots of people, is just a little bit more significant because of where his life started, you know, and how much he had to kind of rise above his surroundings and wag his tail when he had no reason to, you know, and so it's a lot of fun just to have him in my life, and then to also be able to share, you know, to share just his, whether he's taking a nap in the sun in our driveway or whether we're, you know, on top of a mountain somewhere on a hike, you know, like nothing is insignificant with Fred.
Have you been able to estimate his age?
Ooh, yeah, you know, I probably around 11, I would guess. You know, maybe a little older.
Yeah, you're actually pretty accurate at that.
They use the teeth
and stuff.
Yeah.
They get it pretty close.
Yeah, right. So the first vets that you saw were that, you know, he had all his adult teeth, and yeah, I think typically they get them, you know, between like 6 to 8 months. So that puts him at around eight months old, when at the oldest when I found him in October of 2010. So, but, you know, I can never get a straight answer out of him when I ask him that question. He always just kind of talks some riddles back to me.
I bet he does. Yeah, I bet he absolutely does. I mean, an 11-year-old lab, labs can live for quite a while, though.
Mine died at 18.
Yeah, 18.
And he was in great. And he
that's
was
pretty good,
but he
for
was,
a lab.
But he was still like a puppy. He actually fell out of bed and fell right on his spine, like all four paws straight in the air. And after that, he acted like he was drunk. And I took him to. I was living in West Hollywood, so went to a place right there in West Hollywood, and they couldn't find anything wrong with him. And I'm like, well, he can't walk right. I mean, he's stumbling all over the place.
Sounds like a spine injury.
And they did it. They did it. Yeah. They did a X-ray and a MR or whatever.
MRI.
And they
MRI.
Said there's just nothing there. And then he got pneumonia like 3 days later, and yep, didn't survive it.
Oh God, that's terrible.
I woke up and his ankles were all swelled up. And I rushed him over there, and he just didn't make it.
Wow.
But it's weird to say, but I'm telling you, it happened. I stayed with him the whole time, and they didn't allow that at that place. And I'm like, well, I'm not leaving. You can call the cops. And I stayed with him, and they didn't have any music in that place. I said, can you put a radio in here for these animals? I mean, you leave at night, and they just sit here in silence.
Yeah.
So I got a radio, and I stayed there with him. And I'm not kidding you, before he passed away, he looked at me and smiled, like literally smiled.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird.
Bobby.
I believe it. That's beautiful.
It is across the board. Yeah. Just the one, you know, that connection between, well, particularly dogs. You know, like you said, cats come close, but they're much more aloof. Dogs don't generally act. Well, Jude can be aloof once in a while, I guess, but
only if you're asking him to do something he doesn't want to do.
No, that's true. That's a very good point.
Then he's aloof.
So, I mean, Craig, you got to feel like the luckiest guy on earth. You just happened, or Fred happened along you, and you got to know one another. You know, what a lucky thing that you two ended up together.
Yeah, I count my blessings every day, every single day, especially, you know, in the morning when we wake up and we go for that first walk, and I have my first cup of coffee, and, you know, and I just watch Fred take in the day and chase critters and bark at birds, you know.
Oh, he's got to be the luckiest dog in the world.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. It's funny that the decisions I've made kind of, you know, just about where we live, kind of on behalf of Fred have had a massive impact on me for the better too. You know, like when we lived in Washington D.C., we moved across town to an area of the city that was a lot closer to parks. You know, and so, you know, just for the dog, you know, we would say, "Oh, it's for the dogs, it's for the dogs." But of course, it ended up being us. It ended up being, you know, for us, and you know, we got to know our neighbors, we got to know our city, and we got to walk all the time. You know, and. And now living in Maine, it's so similar. I mean, we moved up here because we loved it, but also really because Fred and our other dog Ruby loved it, you know, and we've just fallen in love with the communities up here and the people of Maine. And it's you know, it's just, again, going back to just following Fred around, and he takes care of the rest.
So, who named Ruby?
My fiance Nora named Ruby. They were a pair before Fred and I came along.
Oh, okay, because. You should change your name to either Wilma or Ethel.
Right.
Fred and Wilma, Fred and Ethel. Come on.
Yeah.
Get it going, right. Man.
I have a quick question. Do you know of any active animal, I don't even know what they would be called, charities or something that are in Afghanistan that try to help all the dogs? Because I know... I spent a little time in India, and I noticed there was always these dogs that were, like, sick, and they're thrown out of the house because nobody can afford to do any sort of veterinary care in certain areas. And I'm guessing that same thing, if you want to have a dog, the dog better be healthy and maybe even fend for itself to get food, because a lot of people can't afford to feed it and have medical care for it. So there are some places in India that try to help all the dogs that are turned out onto the street.
Yeah, there is there's the Afghan Stray Animal League and there's Nowzad, which is run by a former British Marine, or he might have been a British Army soldier. But Nowzad is a really great one, and they've been around for a long time, and they work on the ground in Afghanistan to train local veterinarians, or train people to be veterinarians or vet techs. And then Puppy Rescue Mission also, you know, they work primarily on getting dogs home from Afghanistan and places like that, but they also are a great resource to just ask, you know, about the conditions on the ground and what people are working towards to better the lives of animals. You know, because we're all connected, you know. If the animals are doing well in a country, chances are that the people are too. Mm-hmm. So it's not something nice to do. It's something that affects the environment overall.
Right. I'd love if we can find those links. I'd love to post those so people can donate.
Nowzad is a great one to go with, and. There's one other one that I can't remember the name of right now, but I could email it to you guys once I get my head right.
That'll be a wonderful.
That would be great, because I mean I'm sure they need all the help they can get.
Yeah,
definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Mo, definitely. The book is called Second Chances: A Marine, His Dog, and Finding Redemption. It's available on Amazon and everywhere else. You can also go to fredtheafghan.com and check everything out on the website. Craig Grossi, Grossi. Craig, thank you for your service. Thanks for Fred's service, and thank you both for still serving the people. That's a fantastic story.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for giving us a voice and an opportunity to share on your platform there. It means a lot.
Anytime, Greg.
Looking forward to. Yeah, thank you so much.
Have a good day, sir. Bye.
All right, you too.
Craig Grossi. You know, it's so amazing. Just his voice makes you calm. You know, he's got a very calming voice.
That's one of the luckiest dogs in the world.
Oh, God, yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Pulled out of that place and brought to America. And
no question about it.
Living the life of luxury.
What a nice man. Isn't that just great? One concern I do have, and it might be unfounded or whatever, but we're going through this whole deal with, you know, defund the police and get rid of the police and blah, 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 and, of course, just not have any law enforcement. Are they going to do the same thing with the Army, the Marine Corps?
They already are.
They already are trying to get rid of the Marine Corps and the Army.
What's her name? Tweeted yesterday. What's her name? Tlaib.
Rashida Tlaib.
Get rid of the military.
God, she's the worst.
She wants to get rid of military, police, and prisons.
Well, we do spend a hell of a lot of money on the military.
Yes, we do.
I do believe that we could cut down on that.
Do you want to be run by China?
Well, we're almost there anyway.
I don't think our military is going to help us out of that. Our politicians are the ones that are jumping
That's
into that.
True.
Well, in our sports, too. Let's not forget sports like MLB and
the
NBA.
I've come to the conclusion that they're actually our own government's actually trying to replace us.
There is no question about that. I don't think there's any question about that.
They're literally trying to replace American population with a different population.
They want a population that's flat out stupid so they can control
them. They want to replace us.
Yep, they do. They want to control everybody.
If a million people tomorrow wanted to come here from Poland, they would say no.
Yes, they would.
If a million people tomorrow said, we want to come here from Cuba, they would say no. They would not let them.
No, because they're Republican.
No, they just wouldn't let them.
Cubans are all Republican. No, they wouldn't let them
because they've already been through this.
Yeah, that's true.
They're educated on this. They already know the plan. But we're just sitting here all stupid, like, we don't know what's going on.
Well,
but they know what's going on because they've been through the same thing. They've been lied to.
I've already talked to both Trump and Biden about this. I said, look, we already got Bilski. We don't need more Polacks in the country. We're covered.
I love Poland. I really do.
That's what everyone tells
Poland's
me.
Poland's a spectacular country.
Stacy Keach lives in Poland now.
Beautiful.
He loves Poland.
Krakow's one of the most beautiful cities you'll ever go to. It's just so clean and safe and beautiful place.
That is what I hear.
I wish I could move there.
He wants to move to Poland.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the best places you could move as an American is Czech, because they have what's called a freelance clause. So you can go there and work as a freelancer without being a citizen. Other countries like Germany is the top place for Americans to move to, but you have to speak German in Germany.
I'm fine with that.
You have to learn German. So
learning a language is all it takes to escape all this, then sign me right up.
But Germany's cost of living is the same as ours, so I wouldn't go there.
No, the Czech Republic is a lot cheaper to live in, but you also don't make as much money, so you have to go there with money.
But there's a difference between best places to move to as an American and best places to retire to as an American.
Yeah, right. It's different. It is different. You're right. You're absolutely right. Catherine has a couple of spots picked out. She's thinking about moving me to.
We have to have a bug out spot.
Sure do.
I'm way ahead of you guys, and you guys are older than me. I'm ahead of you on that curve.
You're going to Italy?
I already got spots picked out.
So does Catherine.
But I mean, I'm working on them. Like,
are you?
Oh yeah.
So, Andy and Alex, being from a younger generation, is this whole thing just wearing you out? I mean, I am worn out. I don't even get upset about it anymore. No, nothing anybody does upset. Because it's so disgusting. It's all money-grubbing crap. All of it is based on money.
It's all about money.
The police department.
Money and power, definitely.
But, I mean, you see all these. Why do people stand by, whether it's Republicans or Democrats? I'm not going to single any party out. Why can they lie to your face and you deny they're lying? Why do you do that?
I don't get it. I don't get it either.
They're cowards.
I guess.
And I don't get how they get so rich. Like, AOC's a multimillionaire now. She was a bartender 4 years ago.
$12 million donation.
A book deal. Living in luxury.
I know.
How's a public servant? How's that happen?
Well, how about your head of BLM?
Oh my God, she's bought four houses.
Four
this year.
Houses she's purchased.
Yeah, one up in Canyon Country, which is expensive in top of LA.
$1.4 million, and it's an all-white neighborhood. I thought she hated white people. Yeah. She said all white people are racist and horrible. Why would you want to live there?
Well, that's Marxism for you.
Yeah, that's
the leaders get everything.
Well, she's a trained.
Oh,
yeah, she's a Marxist.
Yes, yeah. she's a very proud Marxist.
Yeah.
And if anybody doesn't like what she's doing, it's that's because you're a white supremacist.
Right.
Supremacist.
I mean, this is what goes on. In countries like over in Eastern Europe. This is how you get those. What are they called? The real rich
oligarchy.
Yeah, oligarchy. Mm-hmm. This is what happens in a lot of those countries. It's just happening here now.
It is amazing to me that they can just look at somebody speaking. Flat out they're lying, but you don't care. I just don't get that. I don't understand that at all.
It's a team sport.
At this point, politics is just a team sport. It is. Yeah.
Some of the stuff I just got to laugh at. I saw a clip from last. 2 years ago, and when Trump was president, he signed 9 executive orders, and Biden said that's a dictatorship.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Biden signed more than any president in history combined.
Yep, that's true. Live the life you want to live, apparently, but don't expect anything.
Every politician in this country is just a flat out liar.
Well, politicians, Hollywood, and big tech. Those three are disgusting.
Something has to be done about big tech because
they're going to
bring our country down.
Well, that's not going to happen because they're they're huge donors to political parties.
But they're bigger. They're richer and bigger than the country.
Yep.
People don't understand that. They have more members.
Yep.
They have more information and they have more money than the United States government has.
When they started taking everybody's information and profiting off of that.
Yep.
And we had no rights to privacy anymore.
Yep.
And waived it with their 50-page, agree to this thing so you can use your telephone.
And the
politicians never jumped on that and said, wait a minute, this is not the way we do things here.
If you look at the list of countries that banned Facebook and Twitter, you'll be surprised.
That banned it?
Yeah, they don't have it. There's no Facebook and Twitter in a lot of
countries. Some countries are banning it.
That's true.
They don't even have it.
Good.
Yeah. There's countries that don't even have internet. They don't let the public have internet.
The general public
does not have Wi-Fi in a lot of countries.
Right.
I remember 8 years ago on this show and in the KQ Morning Show, I said, digital is going to destroy the world.
It is.
And everybody thought that I was crazy. It's like, you can't turn stupid people loose on a worldwide platform without destroying the entire world.
No, we said that you were crazy because we thought the reason why you didn't like digital is because you couldn't figure out how to log on.
Yes, that's what it was. What's my sign in information?
I forgot my password again.
What happens if a hostile country just figures out how to kill the internet?
There you go.
That's what I said.
What happens to cryptocurrency? What happens to all of it? It's just gone. It's just disappeared.
We got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, though, with part two.